A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 249. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century. This is Brian from Canada.
And I'm Eamon from England. Hello.
This was a 1999 co-production between ITV's Scottish TV and an American production company that at the time was Deke Productions. They did a total of 26 episodes, about 25 minutes each, with a revived Sherlock Holmes who had been brought back to life in the 22nd century in an era with computers and advanced biotechnology and flying cars, in an animated series with lots of fun, colorful episodes in it.
Yes, it is fun and colorful and very action orientated, but it still has that Holmesian theme of detection and deduction. And, of course, the game is afoot because there are plenty of cases for the rejuvenated Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century. And the cases often share titles and themes with the original Conan Doyle stories. They are all based in some way on one of the original stories. Some of them are quite close adaptations. In other cases, it's just the title. So, as we mentioned last time, we do have the famous Hound of the Baskervilles, but this time it's on the moon. So Holmes and Watson and Lestrade have to don spacesuits to solve the crime on the moon.
They did get some elements of the original in that. It was kind of fun.
Absolutely. There's also the case of the Sussex vampire, which you probably know your Holmesian canon was, of course, not a vampire in the original story. And in this case, the vampire appears to be hacking and stealing computer data and then escaping into the London Underground, which is no longer used in the 22nd century because they've got all those flying cars. So there are, as you say, there are either the titles or themes or a mixture of both for some of the stories.
Yes, and they incorporate some definitely sci-fi ideas with some of the computer hacking type things, and they get into a variety of things with biotechnology and so on. The Blue Carbuncle becomes an animated character from a popular movie and things going on with that. The Redheaded League is quite similar to the original and, you know, a diversion for this robbery. The Speckled Band certainly has elements of the original, but the villain and the snake are sort of merged into one.
Yes, that was an interesting variation on a theme, I thought, a famous Holmes story. But yeah, I liked what they did with that.
Yeah, and it was one of a number of times that they had sort of genetic manipulation and mutations and things, and cloning, of course, coming into things. And it was nice to see them doing a little more with the sci-fi than just trappings, so that was nice. Along the way, Holmes acquires a new set of Baker Street irregulars, some more like the originals and others not as much.
Yes, the set of street urchins from the original stories that helped Holmes and would be often be his eyes and ears on the street. Here we have a street footballer called Wiggins. We have a young, trendy lady called Deirdre. And we have the character Tennyson in his floating wheelchair who can only communicate with a series of electronic beeps rather like R2-D2. But fortunately, Holmes seems to understand him perfectly. And he often provides insights on some of the computer hacking in parts of their cases.
Yes, the Baker Street irregulars were sometimes used, much like the originals, as Holmes's eyes and ears, and other times they were more taken under his wing and more like junior detectives and done to bring something in for the younger viewers to identify with. Done reasonably well, I think.
Okay, and of course, as well as the irregulars, we need some villains.
And the clone of Professor Moriarty comes up again and again and is just referred to as Moriarty or Professor Moriarty. Pretty soon, the fact that it's a clone is not important to the story, and the fact that the clone was created by Martin Fenwick, this sort of mad scientist, is also not important for long. And Fenwick becomes like a sidekick to Professor Moriarty, who is this master villain character.
Yes, it is just Holmes and Moriarty again, really, isn't it? Watson the robot, they do refer to his robotic nature from time to time in the stories. But for the leads, hero and villain, it's just Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty in their battle of wills and minds.
Yes, and of course Moriarty gets a lot more screen time here than he got presence in the original stories. But yeah, it's nice to see the dynamic there. And as you say, Watson is occasionally interfacing with computers or scanning things, so he has a new set of skills as well as a sort of classic Watson kind of style to him.
And for an animated show, I thought the episodes did tend to a touch of the Scooby-Doos, with apparent supernatural happenings being debunked and solved by Holmes and the rest of the team. And then it followed on that, of course, Scooby-Doo and the rest of the debunkers, in fact, are all aping the Conan Doyle stories and possibly Edgar Allan Poe's Murders in the Rue Morgue. But yeah, Conan Doyle, I think, really popularised that idea of an apparent supernatural happening, which Sherlock Holmes can provide a rational explanation for with his incredible powers.
Yes, there is, as you say, some back and forth kinds of things where the original Holmes stories influenced a tremendous number of things, including kids' shows and Scooby-Doo, the debunking things and so on. And then that in turn has a certain amount of influence on shows like this, because here you do have the crew of them with the irregulars falling in at times. So it does have a bit of that tone, although it is more serious in the dramatic tone, and the characters have a little more serious tone to them.
Yes, there's a slight hint of the Scooby Gang, but instead of the Mystery Machine, we get a flying car.
Yes, indeed. Now, the animation in this, we believe, was done by an American animation studio. I'm not sure if it was done in-house at Deke, or if it was put out to someone else. I haven't seen a lot of information on that.
No, it was difficult to find information about the original animators.
But it is something that it seems the animation was done mostly on the American side of this co-production. And it does owe some stylistic things in the characters and the backgrounds to Japanese anime, as was a fairly popular thing to do at the time in new animated series that were being done at that point.
And as we've mentioned before, that's mixed with some CGI animation, with a sort of 3D effect of flying cars flying around futuristic cities. So that has a slightly different look to it. And I thought perhaps it looks a bit 1999, the CGI. Things have obviously moved on since then. And I found those sequences are dated perhaps slightly more than the character pieces, which look more traditional animation and seem to have held their age.
I think that's true, because the detail and the sort of if you like, realism of the effect of it is a little dated. They've moved on since then. But the designs of the flying cars and that type of thing, I did like.
Yes, it's a cool flying car. And of course, we all want one. And especially if you're Sherlock Holmes and you've got your Scooby gang solving crimes and with the high-kicking Kung Fu Beth Lestrade at your side, you need a flying car to get around, I guess.
Absolutely. All in all, I think it's a fairly well-designed show visually.
Okay, so I guess that gets us towards thinking about using our eyes and our brains, as it were, and what we liked and didn't like so much about Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century as a show. So, Brian, how would you like to start with something that you enjoyed from this show?
Well, this is a show that I find quite fun. I liked the premise and how they incorporated Holmes and the mythos of Holmes into this futuristic 22nd century setting. I was pleased that they didn't erase the original 19th and early 20th century setting and say, okay, now Holmes takes place here. Instead of doing that, they made this mechanism where it was a rejuvenated Holmes and a cloned Moriarty and a descendant of Lestrade and an android taking on the role of Watson. I like that they took that approach. And I think it was fairly well done. I think they did a pretty good job of making this be like a sequel to an unseen animated 19th and early 20th century Holmes.
Yes, I mean, I think making it into a fun concept for kids works pretty well. And it does exactly as what it says on the tin. It does deliver Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century. Plus, you know, many of the cast from the original stories are there in one form or another. Obviously, they're slightly changed. We've got the robotic Watson and the, as I said, the high-kicking Beth Lestrade. But yeah, for, you know, making the character into something for a kid's animation, it's a fun concept.
It also means that Sherlock Holmes has now been set in four different centuries.
The Eternal Detective.
I also like the fact that it tends to have quite a nice sense of respect for the original canon Sir Arthur Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes stories. It deliberately sets out to be like a follow-on rather than a replacement, and every story has some basis or some connection to the original stories, and sometimes they're quite faithful adaptations, like The Empty House, and others are really new stories that just use a title or use some of the themes or bits of the ideas and story. But I like that you had that sense that they really pay attention to those original stories, and they're always coming from somewhere when they're going into their new things with this.
Yes. I mean, I like yourself, I think I enjoyed the shows where they stuck reasonably closely to the original plots of the stories, which maybe says something about the power of the original stories themselves. Others, when it's just, a title or a character that has the name of the title character, like the Blue Carbuncle, I had less sort of enthusiasm for. But, you know, it's 26 episodes, so I suppose there are some hits and misses along the way. But yeah, the writing on the whole, pretty interesting stuff, particularly for a kid's show.
Yeah, I also like that when they do take variations on things, they often got some real sci-fi in there. It wasn't just, well, we're in the 22nd century and we have an android and some flying cars, so that's enough. They got in these cloning and biotechnology ideas and the virtual characters and computer hacking and communication kinds of things. they got a number of things in there that really were bringing some interesting ideas in and doing a little something with them. So it was nice to see that once you were doing the 22nd century and stories that do deviate to varying degrees from the original ones, that you do something interesting with them in a number of cases.
Yes, that's right. As you say, you've got to bring in some 22nd century science, or how it can be imagined, at least. So, yes, they do occasionally some very interesting things. We're probably thinking of the Speckled Band as one example, but also, as you say, there was computer hacking and so on. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Yes, and one of the ones that was set on the moon, I believe it was, and had things about having to be in spacesuits to be on the outside, and a variety of things related to that, I thought used the combination of the setting and the world of Sherlock Holmes quite well.
Excellent stuff. So, shall we talk a little bit about the voice acting?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think the voice acting in this is okay. None of it really grabbed me as being spectacular, but I thought most of it was good enough.
Okay. I have to say, I found, interestingly, that the Holmes voice was a little bit monotone, perhaps slightly repetitive, but maybe that is, the original character, from the original stories. Sherlock Holmes is not necessarily a terribly likable character in some ways. He's often quite irritating and not at all easy to get along with. And Dr. Watson must have been a saint to put up with him in some respects, I think. So maybe it's just an element of that coming through in the 22nd century version.
Yeah, Holmes is a tough character to incorporate into a kids' show like this. And I think they went a little bit more to something like the old Basil Rathbone performance of the sort of bold and heroic Holmes, rather than going to some of the other takes on it, which are a little bit darker and maybe more faithful in some ways. But you do have some of that, which in some ways makes Holmes a little bit less interesting. On the other hand, they did not go to a broadly comic version of Watson in the Nigel Bruce style, which I was pleased to see. They went to something a little bit more like the Edward Hardwick version, perhaps. A Watson who is a competent character and not a comedy character.
Yes, that's right. Dr. Watson was a competent doctor. He was a competent man of action. And it's perhaps interesting that here he becomes a former robot police officer who has the personality and appearance of Dr. Watson. So, yeah, he's a competent character. And of course, as you say, Sherlock Holmes as a character who uses his eyes and brains to do what he does may not translate completely to a children's action show. So that's probably why they have Beth Lestrade being the sort of action hero type and a robotic Dr. Watson and some of the Baker Street irregulars that he gathers around him.
I quite liked Beth Lestrade as a character. I think she really is a new character, even though we know she's a descendant of the original. She was a different sort of character with a different relationship with Holmes, where she has a lot of respect for him and wants to have him involved in cases very frequently, but he sometimes goes off and does his own thing, even though he's supposed to be under her command, basically. So I liked that dynamic, and I thought she was a nice addition to this take on Holmes.
Yes, she's instrumental in bringing him back after all. And of course, I think also with programming the robot with Dr. Watson's memoirs to give him the personality and also the holographic appearance of Dr. Watson. So, yes. Plus, of course, she does plenty in her own right and she gets to pilot the fabulous flying car. Have I mentioned that there's flying cars in this show?
Yeah, it's It's something I would say is definitely a fun show. It's not going to be an all-time favorite for me in any way. It's a kid's cartoon from the 90s with everything that entails, but it really is a fun show.
Okay. We've mentioned that it's a combination of two animation styles. Did you think the combination worked for this show, Brian?
I thought it was okay. It does very much feel like a 1990, you know, late 1990s, early 2000s kids cartoon. It isn't something that, you know, uses big budget animation that you see being used on, you know, animated theatrical movies. It also isn't something that uses the classic animation styles that were used in the 50s or the 60s, or even the variants on that used in the 80s. It's very much that style where they were pushing into computer animation and mixing it in with more traditional animation styles, and it was still struggling to do that in some ways. But for what it is, I think it's okay.
Okay. Personally, I was happier with the anime stylings of the character work and backgrounds, and I would have preferred if it had just stuck with that and not tried the CGI. But, you know, we have to forgive it. It was the time cartoon shows were trying CGI animation and starting to introduce it more and more. So I suppose, as you say, it's of its time. I wasn't quite sure about the combination myself, but there you go.
Yeah, I think it's okay, but yeah, it does show its age more than some other things might because of that.
Yeah.
And I guess we're getting into more negative things about this. I think the weaknesses are basically all related to the fact that it is what it is. It is this kids' cartoon show. So it has the style that goes with that, and some of the moments and some of the episodes are going to be a little bit more on the silly side, and it does have things in it that are done in a way that is a little bit rough and sort of jumps over things in some ways. Because it's that, you know, it's a kids' cartoon, and they were done certainly at even at that time, they were being done fairly quickly. So you're not going to have, you know, voice recordings and writing and things at the standards of some other shows that spend more time on those things.
Okay. I suppose one other negative from me would be the fact that there's no Region 2 DVD release. I wonder how much of a success it was on the ITV network and whether it was more successful in the US markets. And that's why we didn't get a DVD over here, Brian.
Yes, I don't know. I did notice, of course, that Series 1 had 17 episodes in it and Series 2 had 9 episodes. And that usually means that somewhere along the way, it was decided that it wasn't as successful and they didn't continue to do a longer series for its second series. And I don't know if that was related to the British or the American audience specifically, or how things turned out. But it's possible that that could relate to the fact that we got our DVDs in Region 1 and not in Region 2.
Okay, yeah. So it's time, I suppose, to turn to recommendations. Do you want to go first again, Brian?
Sure, I'll go first on this. And, you know, this is a fun one. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. It is not a classic show. It's not something that I'm going to put up at the level of the, you know, live-action adult dramas from British TV that I love. But it's quite a fun show. So if you are looking for a fun kids show that does a neat sort of clever twist on the futuristic kids cartoon and does a neat twist on Sherlock Holmes, it's a fun one. So depending what you're looking for, yeah, this one might be worth picking up.
Okay. I have to say over here, I struggled with it a bit more with Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century. I'm sure our listeners will be familiar with me watching shows and being reminded of other shows that I'd rather be watching. And for some reason, possibly because this afternoon we've also been, as our Facebook listeners will know, we've been recording our last set of episodes about Ghost Boat and discussing David Jason. So the show that kept popping into my mind was Danger Mouse, another detective spy show with a flying car that I would rather have been watching. So bearing in mind that it's not available on a Region 2 DVD release and that you're going to have to deal with a Region 1 import, I would say my thumb is wavering sort of in the middle towards downwards on this show, and perhaps thinking if you want to try your kids on something, try them with the delights of Danger Mouse before you come to this one.
Okay, that's fair enough. Danger Mouse, I think, has a much better claim on being a classic than this does. And this is certainly not my preferred version of film or television Sherlock Holmes.
Jeremy Brett.
Well, yes. But I am a fan of classic Sherlock Holmes. I liked how they did things. So like I say, it's a fun one.
And as ever, if you disagree or agree with either of us on this, or you want to chip in with your views, please drop by the Facebook group and let us know.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century features a revived and rejuvenated young again Sherlock Holmes in a world of flying cars and space travel and all sorts of futuristic things. And it brings us this cloned version of Professor Moriarty and a descendant of Inspector Lestrade and a new robotic version of Dr. John Watson. And it goes on to explore updated versions of the original Sir Arthur Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes stories, sometimes in quite faithful adaptations of the originals, sometimes in pretty well new stories that just use a title from the original, and sometimes other things in between, and brings us this fun kids cartoon with a mix of the old and the new.
A strange slice of sci-fi fun.
Absolutely.
And please come back next time and join us for our seasonal Christmas show, when we are returning to what I'm still calling the box set of delights. That is the BBC's A Ghost Story for Christmas collection. And it's time to look at the last two shows from the 1970s original run. So that's two stories called The Treasure of Abbot Thomas and The Ash Tree. Some spooky delights for next time, Brian.
Yes, those are the last two for us to cover. They're not the last two in broadcast order.
That's right. Yes, we've jumped around in the 1970s and we'll perhaps cover that next time.
But yes, good stuff to cover coming back to this lovely 1970s ghost story world for Christmas time. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group, and we always have some fun discussions happening there, and interesting posts from our listeners, and all kinds of nice stuff to join in with there.
Yes, do join in the fun at Facebook, and join in the fun at VogNetwork.com on Mondays and Tuesdays to listen to British Invaders streaming on the Voice of Geeks Internet Radio Network, and then stick around to listen to other good shows during the week, such as Critical Myth, or listen to the Pokestop podcast. If you're involved in the Pokemon Go phenomenon, you will know what that is. Apparently it's a thing. Or, of course, our friends at Pod Culture. So plenty to listen to and plenty of content to join in with at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com.
Absolutely. Lots of good stuff there, and they've been adding plenty of new interesting things. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. And until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, if you want a chance to win, then it's a case of ears and brains, dear listeners, ears and brains.